We are in Heavenly Places, page 303. Title, God's Plan for Support of His Work. October 23rd, of course, because that's today's date. The day after we all drove home from the convocation slash baptism. I think a convocation is a little bit more formal. I mean, Mark and I were talking about that earlier, but we'll talk later on that. Proverbs 11, verse 25 is what's starting this off, and it says, a liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Amen, amen, amen. You know, I mentioned that once before, and this has happened many times in my life, and I've heard some of you say it's happened to you too, but you know, you could be helping somebody on the phone or on the street or something like that, and something comes out of your mouth that you're sitting there going, where did that come from? And that's, you know, and that's not only what Proverbs 11 is talking about here. You know, once you do the work, you go forward and do the work, the Lord blesses you with even more wisdom and understanding and truth and whatnot. But at the same time, it comes pretty quick sometimes where, one time I was sharing with a couple and they said something and they said they needed to hear that. And I says, you know something, so did I. I said, well, wait a second, you were the one that said it. And then I had to explain it, what I just explained to you. You know, sometimes the Lord just has that, you know, he takes control literally over your tongue. That's the best way to do a sermon, I got to tell you. Anyway, she goes on to say that the Lord has made proclamation of the gospel dependent upon the consecrated ability and voluntary gifts and offerings of his people. Kind of like the Levites in there. You know, there's, I think most of you already know this. There's a movement out there declaring that New Testament, you don't have to tithe anymore. You know, the devil tries anything he can to stop the work, I got to tell you, you know, but let them think what they want. Their blessings will just be null and void. Anyway, she says, while he has called men to preach the word, he has made it the privilege of the whole church to share in the work by contributing of their means to its support. And he has bidden them also to care for the poor as representatives of himself. A tithe of all our income the Lord claims as his own, to be devoted solely to the support of those who give themselves to the preaching of the gospel. And it's based on the same theology of the Levites. They did the work of God and only the work of God. They didn't, Paul went out and did the tent stuff like that. He went out and was a tent maker and he made some tents. But that's because the people he was preaching on or to at that time were so poor that their tithing couldn't support him anyway. And he wasn't going to tell them not to tithe, of course. And in some cases, they have no income whatsoever. They just live off the fat of the land because back in the day, the corners of all the fields were considered for the poor. And they still are to this day, but who wants to go out there and chomp on some corn that's got GMO all over it? Even the ants won't touch it. But what I mean about the corners is there were certain areas, what we call gleaning. That's why Jesus and the apostles, there wasn't any issue when the Pharisees got up in their face claiming that they were breaking the Sabbath when they were walking into a field eating the corn, or wheat, as we call it. And they were getting in their face about it, that they were breaking the Sabbath, when, of course, Jesus corrected them, and they weren't. But they weren't yelling at them for eating, because it was okay to eat while you're in the field. You just can't bring it a bushel, fill it up, you know, because then you're stealing. You eat for yourself, that's okay. The corners of the field, they used to say. But she goes on to say that, and besides this, he asks of us gifts and offerings for his cause and also to supply the needs of the poor. And now that goes anywhere. You know, the tithe, of course, is 10%. That is an absolute commandment from on high. That's what you have to do. There's no way around it. Even if, I remember when I was on public aid or however, I don't know, some people call it welfare, many, many years ago, I used to actually hand my pastor food stamps. And back then, the food stamps weren't regulated very well. Because I remember when I first met him, because his church was just torched on Halloween, because he was housing a black guy. Because Oaklawn, Illinois is very, very racist. So, you know, and it's they're annoying, the cops mostly, and so because he had what's called the Strike Two Center, there was a black guy in there, a young black guy. And so somebody threw a Molotov cocktail at the front of the church. All they got was the front end. They didn't get the church itself. So I went out there to meet him the day that happened. And I'm talking about Pastor Russ, of course. And we became friends. We joined the church the whole night. That's where I started the pulpit preaching and all this other stuff. But I never forget when, because at that time we were kind of homeless. We were in the 1,011 day house. We just got there, as a matter of fact. And, eight kids, you don't have, well, actually at the time we only had seven. He handed me $40 in food stamps. I went to the store, bought $40 worth of food, and they took it. They gave me change in food stamp dollars. And so that was the 80s, okay? Now you can't do that. You just can't hand someone a link card. Out here, I think they use link cards. So tithing is very, very important because it's not yours. It's God's. It's one of those tests where he even says you can try him. It's a promise on that end. But the fact is, well, how the scriptures define it, people say, you have control over 100% of your money. Well, you do, but 10% of it is God's, period. Hands down, there's nothing you can say about it. If you keep it, you're stealing. You're robbing God, as it says in the scriptures. But she goes on, she says, the Lord is ever bestowing his blessings and mercies upon men. Should he withdraw these gifts, we should perish. Every moment he has his human family in view, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust, in Matthew 5:45. He gives us fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with good, or rather, food and gladness, Acts 14:17. It is God who gives men power to get wealth. The quick, sharp thought, the ability to plan and execute are from him. And this is why a lot of times some of us may want to compliment someone else or and so on and so forth with the abilities and stuff. Okay, thanks. But the thing with the... Sister White goes into this in a couple of other books. And that's why we rarely see this happening here in the church family, because most of the people in here, especially the clouds, know that I don't much pander after compliments. I don't even have my last name on the side. You know, it's to God be the glory, because absolutely everything I do, everything you do, everything we speak, everything we think, when we are forming the sentences that we believe can help those that stand in front of us, are from him. The quick, the sharp thought, the ability to plan and execute are from him. And some have asked, I just got a PM, which I usually don't appreciate during study, but this is important. This was actually something that is important in regards to this, so thank you. Some are wondering how the tithe works in regards to taxes. And there's two ways you can do it. Let me get a little more of this flammable tea. And for those of you listening on to a recording, you didn't hear what was going on earlier, my wife made me some tea that's almost, it's got a lot of cayenne in it, let's just put it that way. It's very hot. But the tithe can be done, you know, when it comes to taxes, in two ways. You can tithe on your net paycheck. And at the end of the year, when you get your refund, you tithe whatever increases you tithe on that. Actually, it doesn't really matter, because if it's an over, like if you get an earned income tax credit, like if you got a bunch of kids, it'll be more than you're supposed to get back. And so that's actually the easiest way to tithe. You tithe your net income, and then at the end of the year, you tithe your refund. Because if it's going to be larger than what they took from you sometimes because of your children, then it's easy to calculate. But there's people that tithe their gross income as well, which means they look at what their paycheck would have been had Uncle Sam not been digging into it and taking out money for hospitalization or whatever. And so they tithe the whole thing, right? And at the end of the year, they have the earned income tax credit or whatever. Say, let's say they get a little bit more than they should. They got to calculate that. They got to then figure out what portion of the refund is just a repay on what you've already tithed. You know what I mean? Because you got people that are, when you do the gross, let's say they took $50 out of every paycheck. So that's 52 times 50. So that's a lot of money. You know, you got to go 52 times 50 if you get a check every week. And then so you subtract all that from your refund, and then whatever's left is an increase. Then you tie that. But the easiest way that I've always done it is I always tied the net, and at the end of the year I get the refund, so no matter what it is, it don't matter, I tied that too, 10%. But the love offering, that could be anywhere from a buck to a double tithe, you know. There's a thing, the Jews used to do that, and there are some of us that do it to this day, and even more so. And it's called a double tithe, which means you go 10% and 10%. Other people just do a tithe, and maybe, you know, 1%, 2%, 3%, whatever. A love offering isn't locked in stone. It's whatever the Lord moves you to do. Like all of a sudden you can, you know, there's a brother or sister in the faith that you know of that's hurting a little bit, and all of a sudden you throw them a couple $100. That's a love offering, you know. So, thank you again, Brother Ryan. So, all right, so again, she says, it is God who gives man the power to get wealth, the quick, sharp thought, the ability to plan and execute are from him. It is he who blesses us with health and open ways for us to acquire means by diligent use of our powers. And he says to us, a portion of the money I have enabled you to gain is mine. Okay, now if you declare this woman to be a prophet, you know, that was pretty plain. Or you can just look in the scriptures. It's pretty plain there too. But, you know, she puts it in today's language, so it's a little easier than the old English. But still, the Bible needs to be read as well. There's a lot of people that made a fatal, spiritually fatal mistake to read only Ellen White. And then they become fanatical and all this other strange stuff. So, because they're not going to get the whole message. And she literally says in her writings, read the Bible. Her writings are a lesser light that point to the greater light. So again, she says that, you know, the Lord speaking, a portion of the money I have enabled you to gain is mine. But he says, put it into the treasury in tithes, in gifts, and offerings. And there may be meat in mine house, and there may be something to sustain those who carry the gospel of my grace to the world. So, to break it down, the tithe is specifically for the minister that feeds you spiritually. Just like in the old days, the Levites got the tithe, and it was literally just for their means, to be able to live, to be able to take care of their wife and kids, if you will. The love offering is stipulated however you want it spent. You know, you could just send a love offering and say, you know, spend it as you see any need for. Or specifically put it in a needy fund, or specifically give it to this brother or sister that's in need, or specifically get it just for tracts or cards or whatever. But I don't do that thing with the tracts or cards, so please don't do that if you're going to do that. We are trying to figure out some kind of a method by which we're thinking about putting out a little insert into the newsletter for people to order the cards, because the printer that we deal with has actually, it's a nice guy, he actually said that he'll print up whatever they ask and send them the amount with invoice, I think. Or maybe he sends us the invoice, we pay him, and then you guys pay whoever paid that, whatever. I don't know. I don't want to get into that now. It's but that's part of the work, to, you know, that's a love offering thing, you know, to do some. Because some people think that, and I did this too when I was a young Christian, I used to think that my tithe could be used for the work, which it can, but not my work. The tithe has to be a complete separation from the pocket. That's why everybody that tithes in the Seventh-day Adventist Church have nullified their tithe. Everybody that's tithing in the Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Lutheran Church, all of them, all their tithes are nullified. They're useless. They're not even seen as a tithe by God. Why? 501c3 guarantees them a tax write-off, which means they gain by tithing to that pastor, which means it's no longer a tithe. It's now an investment. And they lost the tithe. They haven't tithed in years, in fact. You know, some of them have been tithing their whole life to the 501c3 because they've had it for quite a while. As a matter of fact, the SGA Church was the first to invent it in the 1880s, but behind closed doors and hiding it, there was some guy, a street preacher, that sent me some documentation on it. I think he had it from 1886. And they were trying to, you know, sneak it around and hide it behind Sister White's back. And it was doing it up there in Battle Creek. Whether it's legit or not, I haven't really investigated, but it looks old. It looks like it's real. But it doesn't matter. They're doing it today. So anyway, she goes on. She says, God might have carried forward his work in the world and have provided for the poor without the cooperation of man. He asks for our service and our gifts, not only that we may thus manifest our love for him, you know, in obedience, and our fellow men, but because the service and sacrifice for the good of others will strengthen the spirit of beneficence. Yeah, beneficence. I think that's it. Let me just do that, you know, freedictionary.com or thefreedictionary.com. I can't remember what it's called. Yeah, the free dictionary. See how she says it. Or maybe it'll be a guy this time. Okay. Okay, here's the American way of saying it.
Beneficence.
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 Beneficence. Now here's the English way.
Beneficence.
That's better. Beneficence. I think that's better.
Beneficence.
Yeah, I like beneficence. It actually structures the word better, I think. Anyway. So, for the good of others will strengthen the spirit of beneficence in the giver's heart, allying us more closely to him who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. And it is only as we thus imitate the Savior's example that our characters will be developed in his likeness. So amen and amen. So if you got any... Now here's something I've always told brothers and sisters in the faith, that like one of the first questions I always ask them when they're having financial difficulties, I says, when was the last time you tithed? Because that was a lesson I learned many, many years ago in regards to how I couldn't seem to keep the bills paid with 100% of my money. But the minute I started sending out 10% away from me, to a different ministry, I started to notice that even though 10% of my money was gone, I had money left over at the end of the month. And so the Lord really does bless your finances when you're obedient, because he promised. I mean, this is literally something he says you can test him on. It's amazing how he does it. I mean, it literally shocks your socks off. It's amazing. So I hope and pray you were blessed.